It is time for Gate Speed, thanks to Harness Racing Victoria here on RSN Central. It's right on 12 o'clock on the line, and our special guest will be Luke McCarthy after his dominant performance there at Albion Park on Saturday with a couple of his stable stars. But let's welcome in the team before we get to Luke. Adam Hamilton, it's a very good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Gareth. Morning to you. Morning to Rob, or afternoon, as we've just ticked over. Looking forward to this, and I'll let you introduce Rob, and then I want to pay tribute to someone who served harness racing so well.
And hello to you, Robbie Orber.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. What a great weekend we've just had. We've seen some great performances, and I echo Adam's sentiments, what he's about to say about John Crowe.
Yeah, John Crowe was a man that played a major part in harness racing, Adam, in some different roles as well throughout his life, but sadly we lost him in the last 24 hours.
We did indeed. He was from a rich generation of racing, a rich era of racing when he was a bookmaker, and probably in the second half of his life, harness racing became a real passion. He was the sponsorship executive. He redid and totally recreated the way that harness racing worked with its sponsors and brought some wonderful sponsors to the game. And he was just much loved. The outpouring on social media since the sad news broke of his passing Saturday night is absolute evidence of that, from participants to work colleagues to people from all different walks of life. He was a wonderful man. He was a great storyteller. There wouldn't be a better bloke to have a beer with. And he had one of those remarkable talents, probably the greatest talent in today's world. And I'm sure you'd agree, Rob Orber, I never once said hello to him where he didn't have a huge smile on his face.
Oh, he was just a big teddy bear, wasn't he? Everyone just wanted to hug him. He was a very much loved man, very much respected. And as you talked about sponsors, he brought in some of the biggest sponsors for harness racing over a very long period of time. And he had so much respect from so many people. Just on this note too, gentlemen, I also heard over the weekend the passing of Michael Hayes, who also was a very successful trainer in his right. He unfortunately had some pretty bad illnesses over the last few years at Avenel, and Michael also passed away. We pass on our condolences to his family.
Yeah, thoughts with the Hayes and the Crowe family. Well said, lads. It's time to welcome in our next guest. He's a superstar of the sport. His name is Luke McCarthy, and boy, he made some statement there with a few of his stars at Albion Park on Saturday night, as their carnival is about to commence at Redcliffe on the weekend. Luke McCarthy, thanks for joining us here on RSN Central's Gate Speed. How is Queensland life treating you?
Yeah, how are you guys? It's beautiful and sunny here today, and just really glad to be up here and be part of such a good carnival.
Geez, King of Swing looked pretty impressive from watching him at home there on Saturday night. He only had to run another quarter, but he seems to be in a good place once again.
Yeah, he felt really good, Gareth. He had a nice break after the Miracle Mile, and obviously first up in Sydney, he got the chop done last week and stripped a lot fitter for Saturday night. And you know, he ran a nice quarter, got under 26.6 around Albion Park, and he felt really good. And he pulled up well, and he'll run again in Saturday week.
Adam,
I'll jump in, guys. Luke, we sort of just expect that from him. It's great to have those two runs under his belt. He gets one more before the Sunshine Sprint and the Blacks are faked. That Wandyers, mate, could be a ripper if you got Spankham and copy that in it as well. But just on the other two, Expensive Ego had to do a little bit more from the back row, albeit he was a graded certainty. Two quick questions to you. How close is he to King of Swing right now in your pecking order? And also on Spirit of St. Louis, where does he sit in the barn at the moment?
His form sort of does the talking for himself. You know, three wide to the breeze and the chariots, and then, you know, sat parked in the Miracle Mile and stuck with King. You know, so his form just couldn't be any better. And then, of course, he went to Melbourne and won the APG, and he had another little freshen up first up Saturday, and he's come back really impressive. Well, I'd say King's just that season or two ahead of him as far as being a seasoned horse. But as far as raw ability, you know, he's certainly got it. And, you know, you're hoping over the next period of time he will step right up to that level of racing.
Luke, it's Rob. He's good to catch up with you. I've got a couple of questions for you. Firstly, Turn It Up crossed Swing, King of Swing pretty easily. Can you hold him out if you wanted to?
I don't think so, Robbie. It's really quick out. I don't know if any horse in the country could at the moment. At Albion Park, he seems to fly out there, but, you know, of course, he's got that speed, and because he uses so much energy early, you know, Shane probably happy to follow one of the better ones that are there first. So I didn't feel like I needed to gas out the gate too hard, just sort of make sure we're handy, and I figured he'd sort of roll to the front anyway. And sorry to Adam, touching back on Lewis, we really like him. He's, to his credit, he's probably not a death seat horse, and he's had to sit parked his two runs in Australia and got the job done both times. So we think he'll handle himself really well in them better races.
Luke, the other question I've got for you, both Adam and I have got shares in Expensive Ego. Gareth believes he can't win around Albion Park. Now, I took a really close look at him on Saturday night when you made your move around him three wide, and obviously you didn't hustle him, you just let him get up there on his own steam, but he was hanging quite badly on that, you know, turn into the home straight. Is that a worry for you?
No, Robbie, he was actually shying at the mobile as he went past it the first time. He's still a little bit goofy like that. He was having a good look at the mobile. So it wasn't essentially hanging. It was just he was having a bit of a look at the mobile and turned his head.
If he drew the front row and King of Swing drew the front row, who would lead?
Oh, it depends on the draw.
Okay, so he could hold him out if he drew inside?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. Well, time will tell. I might be wrong, Luke. My theory is with him when he steps up to the big time, that his lack of gate speed, he might be the best horse in a straight line against all of those horses, but if he has to sit outside horses like King of Swing, it makes it difficult for him. But I could be wrong, and I've been wrong before. Hey, talking about superstars and the open class paces heading towards the Inter-Dominion, there's been talk from a few trainers, there's been concerns regarding maybe the welfare with the horses if they have to travel from Bathurst and back, and then travel to Newcastle and back, and then race at Menangle as well, all in a week. What's your take on this, Luke?
Look, I think, you know, it's fantastic. New South Wales has got the Inter-Dominion for this year, and, you know, they've got their showplace track at Menangle, which is, you know, best track in the country, and, you know, they're probably, them good horses don't need to go the other tracks, although I'm all for showcasing these good horses at, you know, the country meetings for, you know, the whole industry to see. But from Sydney to Newcastle, a 6-round trip. From Sydney to Bathurst is a 6-hour round trip, you know. So with the 3 runs in a week, plus that so much travel for these good horses, I personally think it could be too much on them.
So what... sorry, Adam.
No, it's just... look, it's interesting from a horseman's point of view to hear that... Do you believe your feelings are echoed by other participants, Luke?
Oh, for sure. I've spoken to a number of, you know, other drivers and trainers, and just, look, no one has a problem with racing at Bathurst or Newcastle. They're both fantastic tracks, but as a one-off, you know, like for a Shirley Turnbull Memorial, where I go to it every year, you know, the Newcastle Mile, et cetera. But just with the 3 runs in a week, I think everyone just feels it'd probably be too much.
Adam Hamilton, Robbie Orber, Gareth Hall with Gate Speed on this Monday. Our special guest, the champion trainer, driver, Luke McCarthy. Luke, do you think there's time for New South Wales Harness Racing to change the dates there for the Inter-Dominion, or make it at just the one venue or just one of the country venues? And do you think that might change your thinking regarding starting some of your stars if the schedule stays in place?
Oh, I think any major body can do anything they like, you know, that they run the show, and I'm sure they'll do what they'd be in the best interest of the horses and the sport. Look, it won't make any difference to us. We'll have to do whatever's come up. You know, you're not going to go in the Dominion because of, you know, the heats aren't where you'd preferably be. But I just... Look, as far as animal welfare thing, and just there's so much travel and the three runs in a week on the horses, I think it would be in their best interest if it was, for instance, at Menangle, maybe one heat at Newcastle. But there's so much travel in 1 week could be tell its toll on a lot of horses.
Adam, I've got a feeling.
Yeah, look, and I have got a feeling if they stick with this schedule, it will cost them horses, particularly in the trotting division where they're not racing for that much money. So we'll talk a lot more about that. But, Luke, can't let you go. I've got to ask the question. Is it a given you'll drive King of Swing in, say, a Blacks a Fake over Expensive Ego, or could it be barrier draw dependent?
No, I'll drive King of Swing, Adam. He's, I know him really well, and Dave Moran has driven Ego in the Miracle Mile, of course, and the owners have sort of indicated that they'd like him to drive it if he goes to that race.
Yeah, he's in love with King of Swing, Adam. You'd never leave King, will you, Luke? He sleeps with King of Swing.
Yeah, he's really good. He's right where he needs to be.
All right, thanks for that, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Gareth Hall, Adam Hamilton and Robbie Orber with you for Gatespeed on this Monday. Robbie, I'll go back to you regarding the situation, the comments there from Luke McCarthy regarding the Inter-Dominion travel schedule later on in the year.
Horse people, on this occasion, I'm probably on the side of the administrators. I think the promotion of the game is so vital. And I go back to the Perth Inter-Dominion Carnival and having experienced, not only Pinjarra, but also Bunbury, the amount of people that turned up to those venues to see the top horses was second to none. And I just feel, again, we've got a responsibility to market our sport and to get out to the people. And when you look at, the region of Bathurst, who absolutely love their harness racing, Newcastle's very strong. It's a great way to showcase our best sport. So I'm going to be sticking with the administrators here. I think it's a good thing.
Do you listen to the horse people regarding the welfare of horses, however, Rob?
Oh, look, I certainly respect what they say. There's no question about that. I mean, if I had my own horse engaged in the Inter-Dominion heats, I would share their thought process. But sometimes you've got to weigh up the marketing of the sport. I don't think the welfare is a major issue other than they're travelling a little bit extra. I mean, they're all very seasoned horses. They're used to travelling. And again, Inter-Dominion Series was put in place to challenge, horsemen and horse in these situations. That's why we have three heats, going into a final. So again, look, I'm going to support the administrators on this one.
And Ryan Bell joins us. He might play a major part in the Inter-Dominion with his horse Shockwave. Good afternoon to you, Ryan. Thanks for your time, mate. And well done with Shockwave on Friday night at Gloucester Park.
Yeah, afternoon, fellas. Yeah, thanks for that, Gareth.
Will you head to the Inter-Dominion, or is that too close regarding the feature races in WA?
Look, it's all up in the air at the moment. We haven't sat down properly and gone through it all. But at this stage, the Inter-Dominion is looking very hard, given the travelling that's involved in the heat and also getting back in time in the start of our summer. Yeah. As you know, we have scorching summers over here. So the horse has to come first no matter what. And, we have to really look into the whole situation.
So that is a concern if the horse had to travel. Is that the travel concerns there? Like Luke McCarthy just pointed out that they have to travel 3 days or three times long distances to Bathurst, back to Sydney, then to Newcastle and back. Would that be a concern for you? It sounds like it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be a concern for any trainer. And I don't think the situation at the time is the concern. It'll be the aftermath of it all, Gareth. Like considering we've got to keep racing on for $500,000 or over here $700,000, when he gets home, and we've got to get home as well. So we really have to consider all the travelling involved.
Yeah, great insight, Ryan. It is, it's all very well to look what's on the plate at the time, but it's actually the start of the season, not the end of the season like the Inter-Dominion used to be. So that's a really good point you make there. Hey, as much relief as there was delight, A, to get him back, and B, see him race more like a horse than a bit of a raw boy like he was first up last campaign?
Yeah, look, he was still keen enough, and Mickey G just let him run his own race, and because I did say to him before, he's pretty fit. If he does get keen, just go with him. and he'll do the rest. And I think Aiden gave him a bit of confidence. Aiden's been pretty bullish about him after he drove him at Pinjarra Trials, and he said, look, even if he does over race, they can't beat him, you know, like he felt that good in his trials and blah, blah, blah. But he, yeah, it was a relief. I tell you what, I've never been so nervous in such a minor race. It was ridiculous. Like, with Aiden not driving him, and with him being first up and with the hiccup he had last prep. But, yeah, it was a sigh of relief, that's for sure.
Ryan, it's Rob Auberhig. Congratulations. I think you've got an exceptionally exciting pacer. Please bring him to Victoria. Please bring him to Tabcorp Park, Melton. We want to see him.
Yeah, that's the plan, Rob. But like I said, a lot of water has to go under the bridge, and it's not as easy as saying, OK, we're going to Victoria this week, like with COVID and plane trips and all that stuff. But we definitely do want to be there. But it's, you know, the horse has to come first. That's the bottom line.
Hey, Belly, congratulations with the job that you've done with him. And when he was a 2 and 3 year old, I was probably critical of him regarding his will to win. But he's been able to change that around for mine. He's the complete racehorse, even though sometimes he gets a little bit keen in his races. What did you do with him to? Was I a little bit unfair in saying that, or was it maturity that helped him become a real competitor and a racehorse when he went out there? He wanted to destroy his rivals all of a sudden.
Yeah, a little bit of maturity, Gareth. Like, he was always a good horse. I think people forget that. Like, he had one barrier draw as a 2-year-old in Group 1 where he got taken on by stablemates and got grabbed on the line. And then the rest of his 3 Group 1s as a 2-year-old, he didn't draw under 7. And he was the 3 deep from the 1,200 as a 2-year-old going 1.5 over 2,100. So getting beat a neck to Franco Edward, a neck to Patrick the Piranha, and a neck to Too Fast, Too Serious. So think about those 3 horses that beat him by a neck when he was tramping 3D from the 1,200. So, Gareth, he's always been a good horse. Yes, but I think maturity was his lacking to win a race, a big race as a 2-year-old, yeah.
I know, Ryan, you say that there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but you've got an owner in Kevin Jevons who is bursting to show this horse off on the eastern states, and I know you want to do it as well. So it is obviously Victoria's going to happen unless it becomes too impossible, and that's sort of the way I read it. And you'd actually like to potentially get him across early rather than a hit and run raid.
Yeah, I would personally. Again, it comes down to the horse, how he's going at the time. But, yeah, and obviously we've got to fit in with plane trips and all that. But, yeah, myself personally, I would like to get it, because I've never... I mean, I travelled when I was a young bloke with a Harker Ace and it wasn't really successful. But me personally, being the first time I've trained one, and to get over there, I'd like to get over there at least 3 weeks before the Victoria Cup and give him a lead-up race, yeah, for sure.
Ryan, I love my bloodlines, and I must admit I had a look this morning and I didn't realise that Double Espresso was a half-sister to Shockwave. So Here for the Money has done a really good job at stud.
Yeah, she's not impeccably bred, but she's a local bred mare by Rich and Sport, and we all know how good he was. And he was a 1,000,000 to 1 cross, and 1,000,000 to 1 was a pretty underrated stallion. I think he didn't succeed that much because he died quite early from what I believe. But, yeah, pretty good. I think she's just a freakish broodmare, a bit like Lavra Florence, the mother of Lavra Joe. I think they don't look that good on the page, but I think they're just freakish broodmares. It doesn't matter what stallion they go to, they've produced.
Belly, congratulations. You've had some apprentice. You've worked with some of the best trainers in the caper. I think you were foreman for Greg and Sky Bond, Gary Hall Sr. over the years. So you've worked with some really nice horses, and it's great to see that you've got a superstar in your stable, and hopefully we see you in Victoria. Looking at you the other day there on the Trots WA Twitter feed, I don't think you ever looked better. Belly, I'm disappointed that you're not driving, but I worked out why. I wish you the best of luck, and we look forward to you coming over here.
You're lucky we're on radio. Yeah.
Good on you, Belly.
Cheers, fellas.
There's Ryan Bell. He's a really good bloke Ryan Bell, and he's a very good trainer, Adam. And Shockwave's got everything for mine, toughness, high speed, and he'll play a major part, I think, if he comes over here for the bigger races.
Yeah, look, I think anyone who doesn't believe that he will measure up are kidding themselves. You don't come out and do what he did first up the other night in those sort of times without being a pretty special horse. You've only got to go back to what he did towards the end of last campaign. He's really exciting. In fact, WA's, there's a real changing of the guard, isn't there? Whether Chicago Bulls are gone or not, we don't know. It sounds like they're going to, you know, pull stumps and give him a break and try and start again. But you've got Minstrel, who won the Nugget. He resumes today at Pinjarra. Magnificent Storm, another four-year-old, looks really exciting as well. So things are looking pretty rosy. Mighty Conqueror back in form. Patrona Star, a lovely horse on the up as well. So, and then you got Mike Reed. I think he's got three horses they paid $1.2 million for, landing in his stable today from New Zealand. It's really in a go-ahead mode, WA, at the moment.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the history of the sport tells us those champion Perth horses, they match up with anything. And I've no doubt Shockwave's the real deal.
Yeah, I think Shockwave Minstrel might take over from Little Bully. And I love Chicago Bull, but there's something wrong with him for him to drop out like he did. Like, I understand if he gets beat 2 or 3 metres, but he was beaten a long way from home. So it'd be interesting to see if Hull Senior and the team can get him back to his best. But looking forward to seeing how Minstrel goes around, because we might see a few WA horses at the Victoria Cup Carnival, and then they might push on to some other carnivals around Australasia, maybe a New Zealand tilt for a couple of them, and definitely towards the Inter-Dominions. So it's an interesting time in the sport. So Gareth Orr, Robbie Orr, and Adam Hamilton with you on this Monday, and we are talking harness racing here. Now, boys, just before, there was an announcement from Racing Victoria. Michael Felgate tweeted that they have announced prize money increases for the sport of thoroughbred racing. So $60 million next season, an increase in prize money. And all maidens are up to around $25,000. Well, that's the minimum. And there's a couple of prize money increases to some of the Group 1s there. During next season in the sport of thoroughbred racing, we had Peter Duncan announce some big prize money increases in the sport of greyhound racing in this state. I think it's a $6 million increase as well. So harness racing, Robbie, I'll ask you this question. Is there a chance that we might get an announcement in the sport of harness racing shortly, and there might be a prize money increase too for participants?
I'm reasonably confident there will be some positive announcements.
All right, then. Do you have a scoop for us, Robbie?
No.
All right, then. Adam, have you heard anything on the grapevine?
They're coming. They're coming. I'm not sure they're going to be quite to the magnitude of what we've heard in the other codes, but, you know, harness racing, absolutely thrilled to say racing in general. For all of the challenges of COVID, racing has been a winner from COVID. Yep. We know that. Financially, so harness racing as well. All of the key performance indicators of harness racing have been significantly up in Victoria over the last 12 months, and it's time. And I'm sure we will see some of the benefits of that being shared back with the participants.
Yeah, which is terrific news, and I'm looking forward. I don't think Dale Brown's far off anyway of an announcement regarding maybe some prize money increases for the sport of harness racing. Andrew Kelly, in that interview that you've recently conducted, Adam, and it's a Harness Racing Insider new series that you'll be providing for harness racing fans, I think, on the Australian Harness Racing website regarding the stallion levy. Now, this interview was conducted a few weeks ago, but I just want to ask you this question. So they've talked to the studs and the breeders, and the stallion levy won't be happening. They wanted a 15% tax on those international stallions. So he said that they haven't shut the gate on this initiative just yet. They'll talk to breeders and try and work out a plan. But do you think it'll happen now, Adam? And do you think there will be a time where they come together, the harness racing administrators, and work out a plan where they can help get some other funds into the sport so we can increase prize money with certain races?
Yeah, look, I know everyone disagrees with me on this, but I think there was genuine merit in the stallion tax because it doesn't matter what people say, too much of our money is going to North America, and then North Americans are using that money to buy a lot of our horses. So, you know, we're being owned a little bit at this stage. There's no getting, forget about what all the studs say, that is just a fact. There's a stack of money going over there. So I don't know whether we had the right formula, though, in this initial concept. What's paramount to understand is, yes, there will be no stallion tax this year, but Andrew Kelly made it clear that he and HRA listened to the industry and realised that they didn't want it in its current format in the time frame they had. So what the HRA has effectively said is, okay, we won't bring it in this year, but we need you to come up with other concepts to replace this fundraising exercise to prevent us from revisiting this next year. So I think unless there's any inspired ideas come up, we'll be in the same position in about 9 months' time.
All right, then, Robbie, your thoughts on this?
Oh, look, I've been for it. I've actually said all along, I think we needed to do something. And I think the concept was right. I think possibly the prize money distribution for me wasn't right, but I think that there's merit behind it. I think, once again, let's get back to the table, work our way through it, get the right formula. But something has to be done, and I agree with it.
Oh, yeah. So where, and you're close to the breeders then, Robbie. So where did all this backlash come from then? If they want the sport to go forward and so you can go and buy these horses at the sale, why don't they want this tax?
Oh, look, maybe it affects their personal pockets, maybe. Yep. You know, that's how I see it. Look, at the end of the day, you know, we're looking at new initiatives to continue getting people to breed. Now, they say that they'll, you know, I suppose impose the additional cost onto the breeders, which are the broodmare owners. However, in doing that, you're only affecting your own business as well doing it. And I keep saying it, the American formula that they've got in place for state series and sire stakes series not only works, it actually develops something very profitable for them. So there's no reason why we can't implement a similar system here in Victoria. We've just got to keep talking about it. And I know it's Australia-wide, but I think at the end of the day, it can work. We've just got to work our way through it.
Sleepy,
I just want to say this. We don't have enough pots of gold. We all agree on that, don't we? If you're going to buy a horse, you want to dream. In the thoroughbreds, they've got a zillion feature races you can dream of winning. In harness racing, we just don't have enough. And we've got one $1 million race in the sport, and we can only find $500,000 for the greatest race the sport has, the Inter Dominion. Something's got to change, guys.
Yeah, and also on that, Adam, like, you know, I know I spoke about the Inter-Dominion. I think the fundamental problem with the Inter-Dominion, when it's only worth $500,000, you can understand all these horse people not wanting to go in it because they've got other options of $350,000, $300,000 races in their own backyard. So why, you know, put my horse through duress for, you know, not a lot of extra money?
Nupi Kios free for all for the Trotters was a feature event, and this would have been a victory that meant a lot to the Alfred stable, with Sleepy Robbie sprinting too quickly for Cover of Darkness, who was the heavily supported favourite into $1.40. And she probably, like, when you have a, I was watching and I was all over Cover of Darkness, but then when I saw her price, I had a leader's back with the speed map. You kick yourself, you think, well, she was too big of a price at $12 at the end of the day.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I must admit, like, when the fields come out early in the week, Sleepy was clearly my top pick all the way through. And then, you know, Chris Alpha doesn't drive, and then you see the odds keeps drifting further and further, and you start to think, well, maybe she needs the run. And guess what? She didn't. She was just too good. She was excellent. Wonderful horse.
Yeah, Adam?
And you can't underestimate, I mean, Cover of Darkness is still a baby. Races like a baby. Looks, you know, the talent is enormous, but it's such an intimidating thing, an incredible ask to, under this handicapping system, for a baby, an inexperienced baby. What's it had, 10 starts or something, to try and win a free-for-all? So, I think probably the hype got carried away. Cover of Darkness will learn a stack from that. Maybe didn't know what to do when Sleepy just pinged it for speed and then started to knuckle down a bit in the final stages. But I don't take anything away from Cover of Darkness, given the enormity of the ask.
Great to see Brian Gath and Tony Peacock combined with Illawong Stardust in an earlier race for the Trotters. But Jim, I just want to touch on Russell Jack's stable at the moment, Adam. Have you ever seen Rusty Jack's stable? He's always been a good trainer, but I don't think he's ever had the horses that he's got right now. And he's producing some rising stars nearly each and every week.
Yeah, they are. And it really started to crank up before Bathurst, and then they won Bathurst, didn't they, with Just Hope, and the team's been flying. I mean, Santa Casa Beach, I'm in awe of the job they've done. I always thought a nice sort of speedy horse with limitations, but just gone to a whole new level. Like, this has been an unbelievable start to this campaign.
Yeah, I think Shadow Sacks Robbie was my, well, he's my horse to follow nearly from that meeting. I'm looking forward to watching him draw the front row.
Yeah, I think we mentioned him last Monday, yeah, didn't we, Gareth? And his run the other night was outstanding. He's ready. He's definitely ready to win. I think that whole race, there's some really good form line out of it. And I think there was a few winners to come out of it too.
Is there any other horses that you think that we should be watching from Saturday's meeting, Robbie?
I'll tell you what, there was one in that race I thought went all right. Van Danter.
Yes. In fact, all of the Douglas runners are flying at the moment.
Yeah, the team's certainly going really well, and I know we're stating the obvious, but it looks as though the Abbey Dams have got another really exciting one in Hopeful Beauty, doesn't it?
Yeah, she looks the real deal. She just watching her, Robbie, close up, she looks like she's got it all.
She's just professional,
yeah.
Gets the job done, trots well, seems to have a good will, a bit of flexibility about her. So, no, I think she's got a great future. Love her.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thanks for your time. Love your insights and your opinions, and look forward to doing it all again next week. Good on you, Robbie.
Good on you.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, G-Man. Thanks.